Bookstore Explorer is brought to you in part by the Bookshop Bungalow at Plot Twist Books. Have you ever wanted to spend the night in a bookstore? With the Bookshop Bungalow, now you can. Located just minutes from Charleston, West Virginia, the Bookshop Bungalow is a book lover's retreat, a private room inside an actual working bookshop. Each stay comes with a used book credit, employee pricing on new books and gifts, and an honorary staff pick of your choice added to our inventory. Learn more and book your stay now at plottwistbooks.com. Welcome to Bookstore Explorer, the show where we go behind the shelves with booksellers to celebrate the magic of independent bookstores. I'm author and bookseller Matt Browning, and today I'm visiting with Jesse and Cecily Knute of Knute Books in Portland, Tennessee. This brand new shop is unique in that it's located inside of Bloomin' Deals, a 4,000 square foot thrift boutique, home to more than 40 vendors. Jesse and Cecily share what inspired them to open Knute Books, and they tell us how they went from being what they call book dragons to bookstore owners. So come along as we go bookstore exploring. Hello, Jesse and Cecily. Welcome to Bookstore Explore. It's glad to meet you.
We're glad to be here.
Yeah, glad to meet you.
Longtime listeners.
So fun.
Well, yeah. So listeners, before we started recording, they were telling me they've been listening since like episode 3, and this is somewhere around low 60s. So you've been listening for a while. Appreciate that. If you've listened before, then you probably know I typically start out by having the guests sort of give us a physical description of their space. And I know you're sort of located inside of a larger business, right?
Yeah. So it's like I wouldn't call it an antique mall. It's like a boutique mall because she has so many different vendors in there.
It's an antique store technically, but it's full of like 30 different vendors.
40, over 40.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have something like that where I live, and there's a book vendor inside, and it's hard to describe because some is antiques and some are new things and just artisans. And so, yeah, it sounds like a similar place that's also equally hard to fittingly describe.
Yeah. Do you want to describe it when you walk in, what it's like?
Sure. Yeah. So you walk into the building and there's like just the main walkway, and there's a bunch of different vendors when you first walk in. If you go to the left, to the back left of the building, there's our little spot. And when you walk in, we got it lined with bookshelves. There's 6 bookshelves in the area and then 2 short ones in the front for all the children's books. And those are lined with books. We have a blind date with a book featuring where it just describes what the book is about. And then you take your chance on if you want to read it. And then on the back, we do have some boutique items like jewelry and hats and purses and everything. We have some puzzles, but it's mostly books.
Used books.
Yeah, used books. They're used books.
And the space is 5 by 10. And we've got about 1,500 titles in that space.
Okay, that was going to be my next question about how many do you carry? So let's start at the beginning. What inspired you to do this?
Well, I'm a teacher. I teach math and ELA at St. John Vianney Catholic School. So being a teacher, you know, you always kind of have a relationship with books, I think, just automatically. But even as when the kids were little, before I started teaching, we really had a relationship with books. We would take car rides. Like we were a military family. And so when we moved across the U.S., we would listen to an audio book.
Yeah, I remember like Little Woman. What was the other one?
I don't remember. But my own mother, that was one of the things that always kept us close. The Outsiders. Was books. So I'm dyslexic. And so the more I read, the better that's got over the years. And so we've always been big readers. And what was the question?
What inspired you to go from being a big reader to actually opening a shop?
Well, we had a boutique store that we opened during the start of COVID. And we decided it wasn't really something that we enjoyed. And we thought about doing a bookstore then. So we've come back to this idea maybe 4 or 5 times since COVID started. And for one reason or another, it just never worked out until now to go ahead and do the bookstore. But it was because we love books and we want to share books with other people. We like to shop for books. We like the hunt of the book. We're thrift store buyers. So that hunt of like, are you going to get a good book or not today is really exciting to us. And then to be able to share that with other people, we were kind of becoming book dragons instead of book readers, like just hoarding books. So it's nice now to like send those books on to somebody else to read.
And listeners, they're talking to me in front of a series of bookshelves. So are you at home?
And I built them.
I love that phrase, book dragons.
Yeah. So there's like another 1,000 books here that we're trying to put online. And then we've got like another 1,000 that we've not cleaned yet for the bookstore. And so there are books literally everywhere. And our whole kitchen is now full of nothing but books right now.
So where do you source your books from?
And so we thrift most of them. And we have... There's a couple of Goodwills we go to, a couple of thrift stores that we go to. We get some donations in. And
one of the local libraries, each year they do, they clean out all their old books and they have a book sale where they sell the like paperbacks for 50 cents, hardbacks for $1, and you just fill up a box, however many you need. So it's also like library sales like that too.
And for us, like the Barnes & Noble in the local area just closed. So we are the only bookstore now, as of today, from Bowling Green to Nashville. I think they said in Madison, there's a Books a Million, but we're it. The other local bookstores have all shut down. So I don't know if that's good for us or if we're starting off at a really bad time for books. I don't really know. We'll see.
Well, I mean, if my experience is any indication, you're starting off at a pretty good time.
Yeah, okay. I like it. That's reassuring, yeah.
So, I mean, you talked about enjoying the thrill of the hunt. Is that kind of why you went with used books versus trying to do new books?
Yes, that's the greatest part. It's just, so when we get a used book and when we resell it, we go through and we remove the stickers, we clean it up, and the books look new again. And it's just kind of giving life back to a really good book. And it's, you just never know what you're going to find. So you never know when you come into our store, what's going to be there. What is the book that you're going to get that day? It's just, it's thrilling.
Plus when we like buy the books, sometimes people leave old photos, graphs in there, old letters, postcards, bookmarks. And my favorite, because I like to write in my books, I like to annotate them when I read, is when I find an annotated book, I'm like, this is mine now. I'm going to read their annotations.
Yeah. It has more personality than a new book, you know?
I think so too. At my shop, we try to leave that sort of ephemera, so to speak, in the used books if we find it. We haven't found cash yet. I don't know what we would do with that.
But we found pictures, receipts.
There was one bookmark.
Love note.
With my name on it. It's so hard to find my name, and it had Cecily. It was spelt with C's instead of S's, but I was like, this is mine forever.
Yeah. But we put them back in the books when we found something in there.
We have found some like medical bills, like that kind of stuff we pulled out because it's got people's information on it.
Oh, no.
But, yeah. Identifying paperwork. Yeah. We were like, well, let's not leave this inside of a book. So walk me through some of the kind of the genres that are popular. What sells well? What kind of things do you like to put into the shop?
So for me, I'm a big history buff and I love to travel. So when we, that's what I look for in a book. I look for a travel book that tells me about the local history or lore or ghost stories. I just think that those are so fun to read. Especially if it's like, I read a lot of the Civil War, the Revolutionary War. We've been to all of those places.
Yeah.
And then we'll read books by local authors. So if we have like a festival or something we go to, we always seek out whoever is the local author selling a book and we'll read their book. But I also like a good novel. Like I like Stephen King, but you read like the Japanese book.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I read some manga.
Yeah.
And also just regular books, novels, nonfiction stuff about like art and animation because I'm an illustration major.
Yeah. And then I read a lot of photography books. But we pick up like, there's such a variety. There's so many. They've got political books. War books are big here. Religion books are big.
Yeah.
And novels, children's books are...
Any children's books. Those go really, really quickly.
Yeah. We've even gotten some Colleen Hoovers lately, like a lot of them.
That's interesting because those are hard to find used.
Yeah. And they're trickling into our area. So we've got some of those on the shelf. And then the bad part is sometimes we'll find a book and we end up keeping books because, you know, we're book dragons. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, when did you open? I don't know that I asked that at the beginning.
And so we officially opened.
Was it the first week of March?
First week of March, yeah. Like March 1st.
I spent the last week of February setting it up and building the bookshelves with my mad skills. and then reopened.
Yeah. So we're new.
Of this year. So you're pretty brand new.
Yeah. Just a couple weeks late.
So what's been surprising then? Have there been any sort of surprises, things you didn't expect?
I was surprised to sell so many the first week. You know, when we just put the store in, we didn't do any advertising. We just kind of put it in and like just made it there. And we sold a lot of books. And I was really surprised about that many books would sell without anybody knowing that we're even in there. So that's.
Yeah, we advertise now.
Yeah.
And it's improved how much traffic we get.
Yep,
but like
for sure.
At first, like mom was like, the first week, she was like, oh, gee, look, Cecily. And I was like, oh, whoa.
Yeah, we couldn't even believe that it sold that quick. Because like when we owned the boutique store, we knew from that experience that, you know, when you just do a soft open, like if nobody knows you're there, it's hard to get any sales your first day. And on our first day, we had sales, which was amazing. So
we did a soft open that word ended up spreading about, and it became a very hard open.
Yeah. How do people find you? Yeah.
They do. So people are finding you. What kind of response are you getting from the people?
We, a lot of really good response so far, especially with Barnes & Noble closing down. We've gotten messages and emails asking, like, if we have certain books. So that's been nice. Everybody seems to be happy that we're here and that we've opened. But yeah, it's been a really good response so far from the community.
It sounds like you're really filling a void. So you said like between Nashville and so physically, where's the town located? Are you near Nashville? You mentioned Nashville earlier.
So we're in Portland, Tennessee, and we're like right on the Kentucky-Tennessee border. We consider our little town, they have the Middle Tennessee Strawberry Festival every year in April. It's really big. We consider ourselves the gateway to Nashville. So we're right next to like Gallatin and Hendersonville, which Hendersonville's big from Johnny Cash. Franklin, Kentucky is right next to us, which is where Johnny Cash got married. So kind of in that whole
when you're driving south from Bowling Green, Kentucky down to I-65, that's the way you take from most spots in Kentucky to get to Nashville.
Yeah.
We're the first you hit on the interstate in Tennessee.
Yeah. So like in Bowling Green, they've got the National Corvette Museum and then Nashville is the next thing. So we're like right in the middle of those two big hubs.
You mentioned that you're prepping some stuff to put online. So you have, in addition to the store, you know, the actual story, are you doing online as well?
We are. Yeah. Right now we only have, I think, I want to say 300 books online. And that's taking a little bit longer because I'm actually taking photos of the actual book and posting it. And so you see what you're actually getting before you get it. I had bought a couple of used books from a particular online place. And when I got them, they weren't nice books. Mm-hmm. But we won't mention Mr. Bezos' company.
I mean, that will probably serve you well, that kind of care and effort, I would imagine, in the long run.
I hope so. So that way they can see what they're getting before they buy it. Like, this is your actual book that you're going to get. So mm-hmm.
What's it like so far being inside of the sort of the antique mall or whatever? How's that relationship working so far?
It's really great because I don't have to worry about, like, being a former store owner, I don't have to worry about the overhead. I don't have to worry about being there. I can still be at school teaching while she takes care of the customers and files the taxes and does all that paperwork that I don't like to do. The part of the business that I really dislike, somebody else is doing. Mm-hmm. So it's really, it's nice. It's really nice. And she and I have a really good relationship. Her name is Kim. And the name of the store that we're in is called Blooming Deals. And she is just, she's an amazing person. She promotes us. She takes care of her vendors. So it's a really good relationship. It's working out well.
Now you gotta say it because it doesn't have a G. It goes Blooming Deals.
Oh yeah, Blooming. There's no G.
Go Blooming Deals.
I mean, I'm envisioning, is it the kind of place where like I would pick up a book and take it to like a checkout register that serves the whole place?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you don't technically have to staff your booth, but do you hang out there?
We've not yet, except for like putting the books in, because she's usually open while I'm at school, but like this week and we're on spring break. So we've been by there a couple of times.
How much time do you spend wondering, okay, how many books did we sell today? Like what information flows between you and her in terms of knowing how well you're doing?
Well, she sends an email letting us know what we've sold, but I just stop by. It's on my way home from work, and she's usually there, and we have a key to the building. So we'll just stop in and drop off books and then bug her a little bit. Yeah. But it's on our way home.
Since you're basically almost brand new, what do you kind of envision? Where do you hope the bookshop goes, let's say, you know, by the end of the year or however long?
I hope eventually it gets out of Bloomingdale's into our own building and we're independent that way, that it supports itself and it makes enough money that maybe I could stray a little bit away from teaching and do it full time. So this is just that first stepping stone to, I think, getting us there. And like I said, I had a couple of concerns with the other bookstores that have shut down in the area. There was a children's bookstore and then another used bookstore that was pretty close to us that's closed in the last 6 months. And I don't really know the situation behind why they closed. So I'm hoping that it was for personal reasons and not because of lack of sales. And then eventually when we get into our own place, we would introduce new books with that.
Did you mention earlier that you carry some other items in addition to books?
We do. Because we still have the boutique license, we've put that in just to kind of help the sales a little bit. So it's just like totes and jewelry and some gift items.
And some really cool cowboy hats.
Well, because it's not, but you got to have cowboy hats. So.
They're bedazzled.
Are they things that you make or are they things that you...
No, we purchase them wholesale, yeah, with that boutique license that we have.
So she is a photographer. She has her prints in the store.
Yeah.
They're very, very good.
Yeah, and then I'll be... With the photography, we're applying for the gallery on the square in Franklin to go in that too, so...
And that should come in handy when you're photographing the books.
It really does.
Because sometimes you'll look at online book listings that do have photographs, and even those are terrible.
Yeah, I would agree.
And I did some trolling around your website. Everything is looking really nice.
Thank you.
It's done by her.
So I want to ask some of my favorite questions. And as a longtime listener, you're probably prepped for them, I would imagine. But I always love to hear, what are some favorites of the guests to hand sell? But in your case, I'll say, what are some of your favorite reads that you know, if I ever open a bookstore, I definitely want to carry this book.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host, Matt Heslin, brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Again, it would be the Stephen King books, any local authors, but I also like the haunted books, like the local stories, the local and the personal stories about people and history. And it's just what I love to read. I love to read it. And so for me, that would be and what I would like to sell the most of in children's books, because I'm a teacher. So I like to encourage kids to read.
And for me, it's whenever I see a Marie Lu book. She's my favorite author. The first book I read by her was Legend, and it's a series, and it made me cry like a baby. So yeah. I like having her in
the classics. We like all the classics, like The Little Women,
and The Giver, and Great Gatsby, Frankenstein.
We've read all of those.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Are there types of used books that you don't want that you maybe get donated and you're like, oh, we can't sell these?
Yeah, we get a lot of the Dolly Parton Imagination books, and we don't sell those. We give those back away for free because Dolly gives those for free. We don't feel like it's right to resell those. Mm-hmm. And then we get a lot of religion and political books, and we're not, and it's really not our style. So I could go without those personally, but if we get them, we sell them, and they do well because we're in the South, we're in the Bible Belt, and so there's a lot of religion here. But for us, it's just not really, we're not political or overly religious people. So we would prefer not to have that many of those. So, I mean, we'll put them out there. It's not really our thing.
And you don't have a massive amount of space, right? So you have to be selective, you know, in what you carry.
Yeah.
How do you price your books? Do you have a flat pricing rate, or do you do each one individually?
So it depends on the condition of the book, but usually half the price of what it would go for if it was new, and then under. So half price or under. It's never, I think that there's only maybe one or two books that are near the price of new, and that's because they are new books, maybe two. And the rest of them are about 15 and under.
Now, would you ever consider doing, because I know a lot of used books will still carry some new with local authors. Have you ever thought about doing anything like that? Just having a small like local author section?
I would love to do that. We actually know a couple of local authors, and we're starting a book club, and we named it Read Between the Lines because we also like to support the local winery. And the first book that we're reading is by Alan Searcy, and he's written a book about Gallatin and the ghost stories, and that's where our school is. And so me and a couple of the teachers have started a book club with that. So it would be nice to have the local authors in there. Maybe have a signing come in to promote the author and the bookstore. Would be really nice.
Yeah, I was going to ask, would you have the space to finagle a little table in there?
We figure it out. We're invented. We'll figure it out. Yeah. There's space in the middle for sure. We don't have anything in the middle.
Yeah, we could just have them be like front and center in the store. Like that would be okay for a day. And then like be like, oh, hey, you should go look at the booth too while you're here, just to thaw it, like if you want to.
Yeah, and Kim would work with us on that if we needed extra space for the day or two.
I don't think I've already asked you this in what I was asking earlier, but what questions do you have? What things are you still trying to figure out being as new as you are?
Everything. We're still trying to figure out everything. And my personality is, I think I'm going to do this. And then I just kind of do it. And so as we figure it out, as we go along, I did the same thing with the boutique. One day it was, hey, I think I'm going to open a boutique. And then the next day we were ordering. And then within 30 days we had opened a store. So I have so many questions. I could sit and talk to a bookstore owner probably for hours about how they do things and what works and what doesn't work. And so I have 1,000 questions, and I'm just working. I'm just working through them one by one as they come up.
What's one or two that you have right now? Maybe our listeners could chime in when this comes out.
I guess it would be about the... what book is too old of a book that people don't want? Like, is there like a cutoff year that you no longer want a book? Are you like over the books, like The Help? I know there's that book's everywhere. I know, like, is it Tuesdays with Maury seems to be in every used bookshop. You know, do you not want those type of books, or are those still, you know, relevant to buying? And I guess that would be my biggest one right there. Like what books are no longer considered a good used book?
Yeah. You want like more young adult, like The Hunger Games, or like...
Or is that overdone? Does everybody have The Hunger Games?
Well, you know what? In my shop's experience, It's funny, you'll get a lot of like Bridges of Madison County books that were like everywhere in the 90s or however long ago back. Everybody was reading them at one point of time. And now they're on in all the used places. But when we put them out, they still sell. So I think you'll probably learn, you'll learn what sits on your shelf a while versus what people snatch right up. As for Hunger Games, it's had a bit of a resurgence because there was a movie about one of the prequels or something out recently. So we started selling a bunch more Hunger Games than we used to. In fact, new copies were back ordered through our distributor. And even Twilight.
We have a lot of copies of those.
Twilight was one that's been coming back around. And I'm not sure what's led to that resurgence, but we've had some people asking about Twilight lately.
Oh, it's because of Midnight Sun. They released Twilight, the first book, from Edward's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
That was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, but that's been a couple of years.
Oh my God, wait, it's been 4 years ago.
Yeah, that's been a while.
No, I said two. No, it was released in 2020.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I did, we have like the books on Diana that every time I get that one in there, it's sold as soon as like that same day. So,
Princess Di.
Yeah. And then the books that I had in there, I had a bunch of Priscilla, Elvis and Me, that was written by Priscilla Presley.
Oh, yeah, but they had both of those movies come.
Yeah. Oh, maybe that's why. That's why.
Yeah, we have people come in, not super frequently, but it happens, looking for books on Elvis or books on these random celebrities. The royal family, for whatever reason, they seem to be evergreen in people wanting to read about them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great question. But also not the easiest answer.
I know.
You'll learn what your customers want, but we found that even those sort of older titles, people will still snatch them up if they're on a used bookshelf and the price is right.
Yeah. And that's, getting the price right, I think, is also part of it. You know, people don't want to pay full price for a new book. And I think that we can price ours cheaper because we don't have that overhead. I don't have to have employees. I'm not paying the electric bill. I'm not the one paying the taxes on it. And I think that is what is making the difference for us right now.
Yeah, it's definitely like starting off, get started. Yeah. And then as we get busier down the road, we'll be able to probably hopefully handle the expenses.
Yeah. We did learn that, your mass market thriller authors, your James Pattersons and the such, people want those books, but they don't want to pay bookstore prices for them. Mm-hmm. They might want to pay, flea market price, for a dollar. Right. No, they want to pay pennies. But there is a market for them.
He's got so many books. But I think he has a ghostwriter, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he has a ghostwriter.
There are a lot of those authors that churn out books that okay, somebody else is helping with this. So as we kind of get to the end of each of these episodes, I always ask my guests about this concept of bookshops being magical places. And if you used the term book dragon earlier, so I imagine you'll have some insights and some responses to this question. But when you hear a bookshop described as a magical place, what does that conjure in your minds?
Well, for us, books are an escape from reality. And I think we make an agreement when we open up a book to leave where we are and go into somebody else's imagination. I read somewhere, somebody said a book reader reads 1,000 lives. And I think that's so true. One minute you're in your living room and the next minute you're fighting for your life in the middle of arena, So I can tell you more than once I walked in on one of the girls just full blown tears with a book in their hand. So for myself, I've had books where I've had to like just recover after I've read it because I was so emotionally involved in it. And like we were talking, Cecily and I were like, even brain surgeons aren't able to get into the imagination of somebody else like that. Nothing else is like a book. A movie's not like a book. A book is just different. And that has to be magic, right? I mean, there's no way that you can go someplace that's so far from where you are and so far from what reality is and live it. And then there's just, it has to be magic.
Yeah. Plus, I like how, like, when you read a book, it's the author's imagination, but the way you perceive it and how your brain plays it back is your imagination.
Right.
And so it just gets both of you thinking. Right. And I really like that too. And like, I was the kid in school that always had a book on her. And as soon as she finished her work, she'd pull out her book. And I read the entire series of Twilight in 4 days. Because after I would finish my score, like, I'm going to get this done, I'm going to get this done. Then I'd pull the book out and I'd read.
And then you weren't in school anymore. You were in Forks in Washington.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
Multiple, and 4 days is impressive, you know. Those books got to be pretty thick there towards the end.
I had to take the car into the shop and I brought a book with me and I was sitting there reading it. And then all of a sudden I just hear someone go, ma'am. And I look up and it's the guy with our car trying to get my attention. But everyone had turned and yelled at me because I couldn't hear him. And I was like, oh, my bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah. My kids at school make fun of me all the time. One of them said, you read books like most people do Netflix and chill. He's like, you just go through books like episodes. And I was like, well, I read a lot. You know, I read audiobooks. I read hard copy books. Like, people come home and they play video games. We're immersed in a book and some way or somehow.
Now, it's fairly well known amongst booksellers, and I learned it pretty quick that after opening a bookshop, I have less time to read. So just be warned.
That's where those audiobooks are going to come in so handy on my drives to and from, you know.
The fact that you're not there, you know, all the time and running the register and doing all of that stuff, that should probably help too.
It helps. So far, it's helped.
Now, before we go, tell folks physically where they can find you. Give us your address and then also your website and social media handles too.
Okay, so we're in Bloomin, Bloomin,
apostrophe deals.
In Portland, Tennessee. It's off of Highway 52. Mm-hmm. And then online.
Highway 109 to 52. And then you go south and you find it.
And then online, it's canutebooks.com. And that's our social media is canutebooks. CANUTE.
I want to thank both of you for being on the show today. It's been an absolute pleasure to chat with you and get to know you and learn about the shop.
Thanks. We're happy to be here.
Thank you.
Bookstore Explorer is produced and hosted by me, Matt Browning. Our theme song is Come Right Back to You by Max Hickson. Follow along with the blog version at bookstoreexplorer.com and at Bookstore Explorer on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.